What are you excited about these days? What are some strategies that you have used to help, you know, with some of your mental health? What practices, what habits can somebody integrate into their life in order to fortify themselves with this mindset? Well, Clark Bartram, thank you for being on Sauna Sessions. I'm already sweating. So what you're going to see is me sweating a ton. You're sweating a little
bit. I'm sweating, yeah.
But most people, man, well, not most people, but some people come in and I'm like the only one sweating. Like they're not even sweating. I don't know what that is.
You're healthy.
That must be it. I'm like, yeah. It's easy for me to get this stuff out. The detox is easy for me. But welcome. Welcome to Sauna Sessions. Thank you for being on.
I'm so happy to be here, brother. Thank you for inviting me, man. I would have jumped on a plane. Walked, crawled, hitchhiked to be here because I know what we're about to share with the world can be life-changing if people really open their hearts.
Well, let's start, man. So the first question I like to ask is, what are you excited about these days? What's calling you?
It's going to sound super corny, but I'm excited about this moment, in this moment right now, because the reality is this is all that exists in our lives. The only thing that exists in our lives is you and I sitting here right now. So my thought has always been, if I'm thinking past this, I'm not present here with you. My job, my number one responsibility and what I do on the way up is I prepare myself to be fully present with you because I owe you that much respect, love, appreciation, admiration for the platform that you built. So if I'm thinking about what's next for me, I'm not fully present. So, and that came to me one time when someone asked me, hey, Clark, you travel a lot. Where's your favorite place to be? And without thought, I said, wherever I'm at.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. I mean, this is my kind of understanding. So we were talking a little bit about religion and spirituality a little bit earlier. And for me, I consider God to be love. You know, I think there's no difference. When you're in a frequency of vibration of love, you're also within God. Somebody said that God is not within us. We are within God. And I think it was Michael Beckwith. And I absolutely love that. And I think in order to be in love, you have to be in the now. Right. So there's so many books, the Eckhart Tolle's, The Power of Now. In the 70s, there was this guy, Ram Dass. Be here now. Took a break from social media for about a year. I moved to Portugal. I bought a farm and was kind of living the quiet life. And I'm still there. And, you know, as I like to take these pivots in my life and just to make sure that I'm really walking the talk and living an authentic. Am I really living and doing what I'm meant to do right now? I always tell people there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. And the devil's best trick is to give you a good idea so you can focus on that and not what you were meant to do. And anyway, so I'm on my farm. I'm walking around just, you know, contemplating existence and life and, you know, what is this place we're in? Am I doing what I'm meant to be doing? And I realized that there is no doing. There's only being. It's so important to be it first. Right. Somebody say you got to be before you can do and do before you can have. It starts with the being. We're human beings. And I think a lot of people forget that. But you walk the talk. You live it. And that's one reason why I wanted you on the show is because, you know, I study, you know, exercise science and I like reading the peer reviewed journals, the meta analyses and all that. I know you do, too. You like the science of it. But I think one thing we miss these days is the wisdom of experience. You look great. You look photo shoot ready right now. Your energy coming off from you is vibrant. It's young. It's playful. It's not too serious. It's light, but it's also grounded and it's strong. And so, you know, a lot of people talk about the fountain of youth. And I always say the fountain of youth is filled with sweat. And, you know, you walk the talk. You've clearly found the fountain of youth. What the heck is your secret? What are you doing that a lot of other people aren't doing and should be doing?
I enjoy life, honestly. You'd mentioned the fact that being is important and you said it, right? I thought human being, we say things, but we don't really take the time to understand what it means. Just the two words, human being. We need to be being engaged in the purpose for which we were put on this earth. I am fully understanding in the purpose that I was placed on this earth for. Every single day, I wake up and I recite my vision or my purpose statement for my life. Every big brand in the world has a vision or a purpose statement. Mine is to positively and powerfully affect everyone I come into contact with.
Mm. Wow.
So when I get up physically every day, I look down at my feet and I say, today I will positively and powerfully affect everyone I come into contact with, because I realize these feet are going to put me in front of situations. So whether that's something as simple as opening a door at a coffee shop for anyone, doesn't matter who they are, whether their hands are full or not, looking them in their face and saying, good morning, how are you doing? And having a meaningful exchange, not an obligatory one or not one that doesn't want an honest response. That's what I do. And it's really funny because I was hanging out with my son yesterday, and it's not because I'm trying to do it. It's because I'm being the human that I was put on this earth to be. So I'm engaging with people, and people are engaging with me because I kind of stick out, right? People can tell that I'm older, but I also am sort of an anomaly when I'm walking down the beach. So I observe my son observing me. And then when I am engaging with somebody, for example, we were leaving the beach yesterday and there were two guys with fishing poles. If you were to judge somebody by their look, you would make the assumption that these people probably live on the beach. They don't have a house to live in. Some would refer to them as homeless, right? But it doesn't matter. I just said, hey, man, how's fishing? He goes, you know, I'm really not fishing. So we engaged in a conversation that was meaningful, like literally meaningful. And when I walked away, I looked at my son. I said, I love people. And I love people that oftentimes are overlooked by other people because they look at them and make a judgment on who they think they are without giving them the time of day to find out who they are. And that 30-second exchange not only enriched me, it enriched them. My son witnessed it. And I know he was walking up the steps ahead of me going, my dad's a badass, man. My dad loves people. My dad's the real deal. And I wasn't doing it to impress him. I was doing it because that to me is the key. That is the fountain of youth. That is what keeps me young and vibrant and excited about life. Because if I were to walk by and make a judgment and then have this imaginary conversation about who they are, you know, I would get all worked up. And I walked away excited, man. You know, like, yeah, let's go.
Be before you can do, do before you can have. So you, so what you're saying is that the mindset is the most important thing when it comes to health, longevity, looking good, aesthetic. It starts with having a positive inside before you can have this outside.
Yeah. I teach five principles and mindset's the first one. It's mindset, meals, movement, community, and integrity. That's what I teach my men that I coach. So you had asked earlier what's on the horizon, basically. That's what I do is I coach men over 50. That's my calling and my purpose and what I'm really good at. I'm the best on planet Earth. If a coach doesn't say that knowingly, like in his heart, I'm the best on planet Earth doing what I do. So it reminds me of a reel I did the other day. Some people would be offended. Some people would be hurt. Some people would be put back. How can that guy say that? Well, Deion Sanders said it. He said, don't let my confidence offend your insecurity.
Don't let my confidence offend you. Ooh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. You know, it's true because I'm confident knowing that the men that come to me that ask for help, they're very successful. Some of them billionaires. Many of them, you know, a multi-million dollar company. Some just with a, you know, what we would refer to as a normal job, I have an ability to connect with them because I know who I am and I know my purpose and I know my calling. Like God created me literally to do what I do and be here right now in this moment, saying the exact words I'm saying.
How does somebody develop that mindset though? How do they, because the world is such a tricky place. It's a place that is full of distractions, full of advertisements that lower self-esteem, that lower self-image. What practices, what habits can somebody integrate into their life in order to fortify themselves with this mindset?
Well, create awareness. I'm going to quote you. If I was the devil, I would distract people, lower their self-esteem. If I was the devil, I would get people mad at each other online, like I do sometimes too. Like I am a human being, an emotional person. So you'll see me online. I snap back at people, but I have a plan and a purpose. So the remedy for that is, first of all, understanding that that's what's happening to you. the TV, the news. I tell my guys, don't watch the news. Mm. Like, turn that off. Mm. If I'm doing a Zoom call with someone and I hear it in the background, first thing you're going to do is turn off the news.
Wow.
I had a debate with a buddy of mine the other day. He's like, well, I disagree with that. I said, why do you disagree? Well, how do you know what's going on in the world? I said, I know what's going on in the world. I don't have my head in the sand. Mm. But let me ask you a question in return. What have you watched on the news recently that put you into action, that made you do something different to make an impact? You're just filling your mind with all of this negative information. No, I'm not. I said, no, you are.
Mm.
You're trying to justify it right now. You're trying to argue with me for the sake of arguing.
Mm.
When you tell me, I'm going to give you another chance. What have you done in recent, like you heard the news this morning?
Wow.
What have you done today?
Wow.
So why consume that?
So important. It's toxic. I mean, it's not even news. It's old. It's because you hear the same old story, the same old negativity. And it's like, how do you know what's going on? You don't know what's happening in the world. Well, the news won't tell you what's happening in the world. That just tells you what's negatively happening in the world. You don't see the positive. You don't see that other side. The news clearly has a negative bias, right? If it bleeds, it leads, right? This is the mantra of news. So avoid the news is a big one.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So avoid the news and then understand again that you are a special human put on this earth for a reason. And those distractions have gotten you off of that path of understanding what that is. And it might be being the best employee at the steel mill or being the best person to coach the kids at Pop Warner or whatever it is. You are there for a purpose. If you're distracted by all of the BS, which could be a negative parent saying, my kid doesn't play enough. It's taking you off of your purpose of being in front of little Johnny or little Sally who's looking at you for the influence that you provide because you're the head coach or you're the boss or you're somebody who is meant to participate at the level that only you can. Mm. We discount ourselves so much by saying, I don't have 2.9 million followers on Instagram. I'm not an influencer. Every single person on the planet, one is an athlete, two is an influencer, and three has a reason for being here, but you've been distracted. You're off point. So you have to be aware of what your purpose and calling is.
Mm.
And you said it, like you get one chance at a message.
Mm.
You get one chance at this life. I stole a line right out of one of my favorite movies, Shawshank Redemption. Get busy living.
Yeah.
I just cut it off there, right? The rest of the line is, or get busy dying. Most people are getting busy dying.
Wow.
Why? Because of the stuff they consume, conversations they have, the people they hang around. I'll go back to my five principles. Their mind is not set on the things that'll take them in a positive direction. They're not eating the right foods. It's tearing them down. They're not exercising because they say they're too busy or they're too old or some excuse. They're in the wrong community of people who are saying, come on, bro, have another drink. Oh, yeah, Sally, did you hear what's going on with Sally? Oh, who's that think she is or whatever? And then integrity. Integrity in reporting these things to yourself and your coach or your mentor or whoever. And then also integrity in life, because there's no way we can live a life that is below the standards that have been set for us by whoever it was that raised us or if we raised ourselves or whatever. We live below those standards. Those actions and activities and thoughts and behaviors have to manifest some way. And typically, they're going to manifest in a fat, out-of-shape body.
Mm.
Because we eat, we drink, we drug, we do all of this stuff, and your human body is only going to allow you to get away with so much before it finally says, all right, I'm going to agree with you. Let's just shut down all systems, get fat. You were not meant to be fat.
Mm.
And I'm not fat shaming, I'm simply stating facts. Why do we compare everything we've accomplished since high school, but none of us ever say, why don't you look like you did in high school?
Mm.
That should be the number one benchmark of a high school reunion.
Mm. Wow.
Bro, you look like you can still fit in your wrestling singlet, or you still like you fit in your band uniform. Mm. 3/4 of the American population couldn't even come close to fitting into those clothes.
Mm.
So why is that not a conversation?
Because
I'm labeled as toxic, offensive, when I actually love and care and want the best for people.
Makes sense. It makes sense to me. Yeah, I always tell people sometimes that if you had a day and God could come into your body and live inside of your body, what would you feed God?
Yeah.
Would you feed him the McDonald's? Would you the sodas? Would you get the pure food, the organic, the would you drink, be hydrated? And, so I feel like it comes around to mindset. Mm. I think we get so depressed in our world today. We get lazy. We get complacent. We don't think we can go back to those high school years. We say, oh, it's just genetics. How do you feel about that?
There's two Clark Bartrams in the world. One Clark Bartram went down the path that I went down. Same birth mother, same father who gave the seed to make Clark Bartram who he is. So I was an athlete. I went to the Marine Corps. I was a bodybuilder. I've relied on physical prowess for my entire career. So it was the lifestyle that created the body that you're looking at right now. Take the parallel Clark Bartram, who didn't go to the Marine Corps at 17, and he went to work at Timken Roller Bearing in Canton, Ohio, where a lot of hardworking, great people go and work. Mm. But I didn't feel that was in my calling. I knew there was something different for me. Had I gone to work at Timken Roller Bearing, chances are, because I was working in temperatures like this, by the time I got home after an 8-10 hour laboring session, I would most likely sit on a couch, have a couple beers, have dinner, watch All in the Family or whatever was going on at the time, be filled with that negative bias attitude, have a thought about everybody in the world who wasn't me, create a negative mindset around that, and then repeat that over and over. Not that any of those people are bad or they're doing anything wrong or they're even acting like that. Mm. That is my image of what may have happened to me. Mm. Would that guy look like I look today? No. So that means had I taken that path, I would be a much different human being than I am today. So it's 20%, give or take, genetics and 80% lifestyle for every single person hearing my voice right now. Mm. And the beauty of it is they can change their lifestyle like that instantly without a question. The problem is the behaviors they've created over 10, 20, 30, 40 years are hard to turn around and reverse. Mm. But that's why you and I exist, and people like us who understand the importance of mindset, right? Mm. Waking up and fighting. And listen, I have my battles no different than anybody else. There are things outside of fitness-related topics of conversation that I struggle with, that I have a hard time kicking the habit of.
Sure.
I'm a human being in a world of temptations, and distractions, no differently than anybody else. Mm.
That's the almost paradox that has to exist in somebody's mind. You recognize your humanness, but you also recognize your responsibility to evolve, to get better. I always say the world is perfect as it is. It was Ram Dass. He said, the world is perfect as it is, and so is my desire to heal it. I switch that. I say, you are perfect as you are, and you can get better. Clark, I know you reach a lot of men over 50. I know you also reach younger audience as well.
Yeah, my demographics are younger than I thought. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're huge. You have millions of followers on TikTok. So here's the thing. And it's the last question before we get out of this sauna, because I'm sweating up a storm here. I turned on the news the other day and it said there's a crisis. The worst thing I could do is turn it on. I didn't even turn it on. I was at the gym and, you know, they had the TVs.
Yeah, they force you to watch it.
So I look up and I see crisis in young men. You know, maybe it's accurate. I think there is a crisis when it comes to identity within young men. They don't have the healthy role models. They don't know what a version of healthy masculinity is. What do you say to young men who are trying to find their path, who are trying to be men? What is healthy masculinity to Clark Bartram?
So the first thing I want to say is this. The most influential person in a child's life is a same-sex parent. Mm. So the example that I explained earlier to my son, I'm a great example of what it looks like to be a man. And that's not a tough guy walking on the beach acting like I'm better and they're worse. It's me walking on the beach as an anomaly, like somebody that stands out, that looks the way humans should look, honestly. I don't look like the norm, but when people engage with me, like a guy, hey, I follow you on Instagram, I engage with them like they matter because they matter. I don't like it when social media people only associate with social media people at the same level.
No, I've experienced that one.
Like, you don't need to talk to me because you got 2.9 million followers. I'm stuck at 183. Does that make you better and me worse? No, but you get that because you have this inside of you. So young man out there, if you are struggling because maybe your dad, listen, don't blame him. Don't get mad at him. Love him through it, because you could flip it around and be the most influential person in your dad's life. And that might be exactly what he needs.
Wow.
for you, young man, to stand up and take control of your life, because you have not yet been conditioned for as many years as maybe your father has been conditioned. And he is having a hard time. So right now, you have people like us in your life saying you can take control, lose that first pound, get that first bicep, and understand that it's more for health than it is for vanity and narcissism and all of that other stuff. I like looking good, but I understand more importantly the importance of health. So reach out to somebody. Find somebody that can speak into your life and help you. And listen, this might cost you money, because people of value expect value in return, because we understand that when you throw a pearl before a swine, they're not going to appreciate what value is there for you. So if you're willing to go shine shoes like I did when I was 13, have money and invest that into something that is going to benefit me back, people are going to take you serious because they know you want to do something.
That's it. That's it. That's why when I was telling you my St. Louis story, I used to put everything I could. I would skip meals to get studio recording time because I believed in myself so much. I put my money where my mouth was. And I think, yeah, you're right. You have to invest. People, they don't pay attention unless they pay, you know? So it's like you got to put the money into the coaching, into the education in order to really change you. Because then you mean it. I mean, technically in the perfect society, that shouldn't be the case. But in our world where, you know, money is kind of the ruler, most of us, 95% of us are kind of chasing it. We do what we do for, you know, that money. This is the system that many people kind of surrender to. So I think you have to. If you really mean it, you're going to invest in yourself if you're really serious about it. It's one thing you talk about it, but there's another thing you actually invested the money, and then you actually find it serious. People don't respect free. Now, that's why you get a brochure and you know, you open it and you throw it away. But, you know, you spend $200 on a book, and some books are priced that much. You're going to read it front and back maybe 20 times, and you're going to get that message because you invested in yourself. Clark, all right, let's how you feeling, by the way?
I feel fantastic. You feel good? Bro, you got me hyped up, man. I could go, like, I'm the kind of guy, I'm watching other people. I'm like, I ain't stopping until he stops.
Yeah.
I'm not tapping out unless you're wrestling Russell Brunson.
Yeah, I think Jesse Itzler?
Yeah.
He's like that too, man. When he like saw videos of him, he's a cool guy. But he's like, if I get into a sauna and somebody's comes in, it's a competition.
Right. Who gets
Even if he comes in after, yeah. It's
interesting. I was doing lunges the other day in the gym, and there was these two dudes on the ground doing crunches. And I was already 10 minutes in on lunges, nonstop.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm not stopping until they stop doing crunches.
There you go.
And I was hoping in their mind that they were saying, we're not stopping doing crunches till that old dude stops doing lunges.
Pushing it.
Right? And in our own minds, because we're competitive beings in nature, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You had talked about that before, healthy competition. Yeah. Right? You had defined that as what does masculinity look like. I heard you say it, and I appreciate that. I'm interested in the vulnerability thing. That's an interesting one to me. Yeah, so we'll talk about that out there. But, you know, it was the poor kid in me that fortunately appreciated the free stuff. I got a 1972 Pontiac Grand Prix from my mom and her boyfriend, Big Ron Johnson. And my mom came out one day in front of the house. It was a gift for graduating, getting ready to go in the Marine Corps. She said, you're going to wash the paint off of that thing. I said, I'm going to be riding around in the cleanest 72 Forest Green Pontiac Grand Prix with Kreger rims and an 8-track tape player, air shocks on it. You know what
Let's
I mean?
Go.
And I've had that attitude ever since. If you give me a platform, I'm appreciating it. If you give me a t-shirt, I'm washing it. It's going to smell good when I wear it. And I'm going to be reminded of where it came from and what it means. Like, all of this stuff I'm saying is real. And people who can't connect with it, let me encourage you to start leveling up your vibration by getting around people, the community piece, getting around people who are going to force you to raise up, or they're going to force you out of the group.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. I mean, if a seed isn't growing, you don't try to fix a seed. You fix the soil. Right. So you got to change the environment. Environment is so crucial. There's a guy, we're actually going to have him on tomorrow, Benjamin Hardy. He wrote a book called Willpower Doesn't Work.
Yeah. He works a lot with, Joe Polish.
Okay. Yeah. It's true. The environment is the most important aspect for success. You got to change who you're around, the energy, because we're so connected. That's how we evolved as a species, with each other. So, you know, we influence each other. We got to make sure we're positive influencers, not under the influence of, you know, alcohol, which is a lot of the people we see on social media. It's a very intoxicating influence that people give out, as opposed to a freeing influence. But you do a great job at it, Clark. Let's hop out of this sauna. Let's get some spring water, some coconut water, and keep the conversation going.
Right on, my brother. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, so we're back on. How was the sauna?
It was amazing, brother. You know, I was going to tell you something in there, and I'll say it now, because this would be the complete antithesis of what they would expect two men to say in such an intimate place. But, brother, I love you, man.
Mm.
I love your energy. I love who you are and what you stand for. And it took me a third of a second to realize that.
Mm. Wow.
A third of a second. I didn't even have a focused picture of you because I was looking through a screen door. And I could see a humble, patient, beautiful human sitting there waiting with no malice or anything that someone in your position might have. Like, where's this dude at? What's going on? And I just appreciate the hell out of that, man. I really do. So that's me being honest and vulnerable, right? So I saw something. I'm going to ask you a question now.
Yeah, yeah,
so what is this? You know, you're talking about what does a real man look like? Yeah. And you had mentioned vulnerability. What?
Yeah.
Go into that a little bit for me.
Well,
I'm interested.
First, I'll receive what you just said. The feeling is mutual. I love you. I love everything that you put out there. You really walk the talk, and it's rare. It's rare to see that. And for me, the humility, it just comes from just recognizing the blessing of just life itself, just that we're here, that we have the mindset that we have and the opportunity. And yeah, it's hard work. And I also think there's a chess player somewhere up there that's putting the pieces in, you know, certain places. And you know, it's just that humility that ultimately there's a higher force that's really in control. And also that, you know, when I meet people, I try to realize that everybody's doing the best that they can with what they have, where they are. If they knew better, they do better. And so I never want to, you know, whether it's shame people but I always want to inspire people. And I love the word. I always say I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm inspirational because inspire, it comes from the in spirit. So I want to bring that gift that's already within people out. And we all have our own unique gifts and they manifest in different ways. And we just have to kind of get rid of the fear. Right, it's only two choices we make in life. It's either a choice out of fear or a choice out of love. And so bringing it back to what is a man and what is masculinity, I think it is. It's like a real man understands that it really comes down to love. Is he able to show compassion to the people beneath him? Is he able to be vulnerable? Because that is the true strength. You know, it's easy to be hard and rigid and like, I love David Goggins. I listen to him when I'm working out sometimes. But I also know, you know, in nature, when you die, you get rigor mortis. Your body becomes hard. The hardness is stiffness. It's associated with death. The hard, you know, the tree that's hard and isn't able to be pliable, it dies in a storm. It blows away. But to be rigid, to be vulnerable, to be able to bend in life is, I think, more associated with life and love and true masculinity, the highest form of masculinity. And, you know, I'm a word guy. Like, I love words. And I know it's so easy to use words because words never get to quite what they mean. The word, as an old saying, the map is not the territory. The word is not the thing, right? You can't get drunk from the word wine. Right, you got to actually drink it. So when I use words, they mean something, but it's not actually that thing. But I think when you embody these energies of like masculinity, which you totally do, you realize that it's really just about being an honest, vulnerable, courageous person. And courage, which comes from the root word core, which is French for heart. So the most courageous act you can do is to follow your heart. Yeah.
Have you read the Fifth Agreement?
The Fifth? No.
You got the Four Agreements, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking.
They have the Fifth Agreement now, and it talks about words or symbols.
Uh-huh.
You'll love it. Read the Fifth Agreement.
Okay.
It talks all about how words are just symbols all they are.
That's it.
That's what you're really describing.
Yeah.
I love what you said, too, about you not being a motivational speaker, but you bring out what's already in somebody. There's a great lyric from a band, America, in the song. They say, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have, you know? So we all possess that. It's a matter of sometimes being in a vulnerable state to where you can break out of the shell. Now, I know all of this seems kind of out there for some people if they're listening, probably not the people that tune into you because they're in that space energetically. But if someone happened to be just tuning by here going, yeah, come on, man, this is all just talk. Sometimes I sit with people and I know it's just talk. I can hear them. I'm like, bro, man, you're being a phony right now. But this is really authentic. And that's another thing, right, is the authenticity of someone showing anger, showing the emotions that no human is void of. Mm. Some of them have them mastered better than others. Mm. But just being real. And I think that's what my guys love about me is the authenticity, the vulnerability, the bold truth of who I am. Like, I literally have no reason to hide from anything. Mm. So I'm an open book. Anything you want to ask me, brother, we can dig, go deep into the woods.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you was, because you were kind of a student of one of my my heroes, the legendary Jack LaLanne. He was incredible. Lived till he was 96. I think Arnold was like 25. He was like 50-something. Beat him in a weightlifting competition for his 70th birthday. He swam a mile and a half, towing like 70 rowboats and stuff. Like he did some incredible stuff. And one of my favorite quotes from Jack LaLanne was, nutrition is queen, exercise is king, and you put them together and you have a kingdom. What did you learn from Jack LaLanne?
Everything. I'm almost crying right now. I'm thinking about how fortunate I was to sit with him like this. I first met Jack through an endorsement contract we both had with a company called Fitness Age. Mm. And they said, hey, your partner in this is going to be Jack LaLanne. I'm like, get out of here. This is not even happening right now. And actually, even prior to that, my first meeting with Jack was, I was on the Governor's Council for Physical Fitness with, Arnold was the council, right? He was under Pete Wilson was the governor. Arnold ran the Governor's Council. It was me, Jack LaLanne, Mario Lopez, Bruce Jenner, the commander of the Navy SEALs, and Dan, I forget Dan's last name, one of the first personal trainers ever. Mm. I'm standing in the hallway and I'm sitting there with my wife. Yeah. And out of nowhere, like the Tasmanian devil, Jack LaLanne comes up to me and he like punches me in my stomach, like pop, pop. He's like, you're so damn good looking. I tell you what you do. You go to Hollywood, you let a gay producer pat you on the ass. You'll be a star before you know it. I was like, was that Jack LaLanne that just said that to me? Where did that come from? Wow. You know what I mean? Wow. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. That was nuts. And he went on and then we just became friends. He was the most loving person in the world. He treated everybody with the same respect. But the thing that, one of my favorite quotes was from him, he's like, Clark, why would a man wake up in the morning and give his dog the best food and water, but have a coffee, a donut, and a cigarette? And I was like, makes sense. Jack was something else. So we traveled the country together. We had an endorsement deal together with Fitness Age. He was on my TV show, 6 episodes. Someone brought out his little jumpsuit. And Jack wasn't, you know, I'm not the tallest guy. I'm 5'8". Jack was 5'5", 5'6". Mm. And they said, put the jumpsuit on. I said, man, that's like spitting on Superman's cape. You don't do that. I'm not touching that thing. That's not cool.
That's hilarious. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I don't know if I haven't fact checked this, but I've heard that this is where the term, oh, that guy's jacked, comes from.
Oh, hey, I never even thought about that. That could be.
Yeah, I heard it could came be. From Jack LaLanne.
Well, let's give him credit for it. It's like all the Chuck Norris things, right? You know, the boogeyman's afraid of Chuck Norris. Let Jack LaLanne have that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, Clark, what is a magical morning?
So that book that I wrote, Magical Mornings, came through a text message. I typically don't do anything in the morning. I like to have my coffee and just spend some quiet time. I don't necessarily get into this morning ritual. Like, I don't get on my knees and meditate for 5 minutes. I don't journal every day. I just like to chill and relax before I get into the busyness of the day. And one day I just happened to check my text messages and my buddy Sergio Gutierrez said, aren't mornings magical? And instantly in my spirit, I heard that's the title of your next book. So like I always do, I went to Starbucks that day. Like I heard before in my book, Where Your Mind Goes, You Go, that's the title of your book. I instantly started writing it. So that morning after Sergio said that, I went to Starbucks and I started writing that book. And I sat at Starbucks every day till that book was done. So a magical morning is not watching the news. A magical morning is not getting caught up on your emails, in your text messages, in the busyness of life. There's a quote by Rumi, a 16th century poet, mm-hmm. The morning breeze has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. So many of us hit the snooze button for 5 minutes to get that extra 5 minutes when there could be 5 minutes of quietness where the breeze in the morning when nobody else is out, like it's magical. If you walk outside in the morning when nobody else is up and there are no cars and nothing but the sound of the sound, it is truly magical. And that only happens in the morning. And if you have 5 minutes and that morning breeze tells you a secret that it tells nobody else on the planet, that could be your next business. That could be the breakthrough in your marriage. That could be the healing to the disease. That could be the motivation you need to not take your life. That could be something where somebody said something weird or disrespectful to you that you didn't get when that morning breeze said, release them. They're just a human.
Mm.
They're flawed. And you heard that, and the only place you can hear that is in the morning.
Mm. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I know Rumi. I've read a lot of Rumi. Never heard that quote, though, but that hit me. That hit me. Say it again.
The morning breeze has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep.
Mm.
How many people hit the snooze button and miss out on that?
Mm.
But they want a better life. They want a business. They want a better body. They want a better relationship. They want to exist better. But 5 more minutes of sleep is more important than what might be revealed. It doesn't happen at night. It can't happen at night. You know why? Because it's not the morning.
Brilliant. I love that. So in the sauna, you say a lot of people don't have a bedtime. And this hit me too, because I don't have a strict bedtime. But now I'm like, maybe I need a specific bedtime. So my question to you is, what's a magical evening?
Magical evening is having my bedtime at 8 o'clock, regardless of what anybody says. I've been trolled for having a bedtime. Guys saying rude, mean, disrespectful, hurtful things about me and my wife. You know what I'm saying? But I hit the bed at 8, and I am sleeping by 8:05, 8:06 at the latest.
Wow.
And having, so a magical night to me is laying my head on my pillow and knowing that I did what I said in there I was meant to do in the morning to positively and powerfully affect everyone I come into contact with. I hope I leave here today having inspired you and had a positive impact in every single person that I encounter as I move through my life, because that's my goal. So if I lay my head on my pillow tonight, but if I did something along the way and I offended somebody or I did something that was wrong, I try and go back and fix it.
Mm.
Like I acted inappropriately the other day. I said something to somebody and blocked them, and I instantly felt guilt. And I blocked and deleted, so I couldn't find it. I couldn't remember the person. I remember the person's name. So I went on Facebook, and I found him. And I messaged him on Facebook. I said, listen, man, I'm sorry. I was out of line. Because I couldn't have gone to bed that night feeling good about myself because I acted inappropriately.
Mm.
I spoke in anger. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Mm.
I was quick to become angry and quick to speak, and I knew better. So I fixed it, and me and that guy are friends. Matter of fact, he texted me this morning. And we have, you know, a online just, hey, buddy. And this is someone who you would think someone like me would never have as a friend, but I do.
That's incredible. And that's incredible that you have the vulnerability to share that, because a lot of people won't. A lot of people, their pride would even get in the way of them going back to that person.
I had to.
You know?
I had to.
Hmm.
And you know, the hardest person to do that to is your spouse.
Mm.
Familiarity breeds contempt, right? You've been around somebody for so long. So a good night to me, a magical evening to me, is maybe I am arguing with my wife and I don't want to, but I reach over and I grab her hand and I pray with her.
Mm.
Even if I don't want to, I know it's the right thing to do. And listen, man, I ain't sitting here trying to say I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But these are things that I work on to try and rub off those rough edges and be a guy that isn't like trying to stand out in a way that says I'm better and you're worse, because I'm not at all. You know, but that's the judgment that we get because you look a certain way or carry yourself a certain way or have confidence. Like, I'm going to quote Deion Sanders again. Or no, this is Terrell Owens. I love me some me. There's nobody that loves me on planet Earth more than me. There's nobody I love on planet Earth more than me.
Because
that's how I'm able to love everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, man.
One of my favorite relationship advices is you come first right after me. You tell your partner, you come first right after me.
I love that, man.
Man, you have been just so vulnerable, and you really, like I say, you walk the talk. I saw a piece of content from you where you spoke very openly about some of the anxiety that you deal with and experiences with depression, and it's so common in our world today, and it's also very shame. We kind of push it aside. What are some strategies that you have used to help, you know, with some of your mental health?
I realized that my mind is what got me into it, and it was my mind that could get me out. I didn't want to resort to medication because I knew that was hiding the feeling. And if anyone's doing that, that's totally their decision. I'm not here judging anyone, but what I'm saying for Clark Bartram, I didn't want to do that. So I really dove into the mind, and that's where this mindset thing really came real to me. I was so nervous and so scared. I had diarrhea all the time. I couldn't do a conference call. There would be no way I could do this. And I lost all of who I am as a person, confident and strong and masculine and all this sort of stuff. It was stripped away from me. I think for the purpose of gaining a new respect for the gift and the calling and the purpose I had, maybe I was a little cocky. Maybe I was a little arrogant. I don't know what the lesson was, but I dove into the mind and I realized that these are knowledge encounters.
Mm.
They're not panic attacks. They're knowledge encounters. So if you see them that way and go, okay, what knowledge can I pull from this instead of hiding from it and just taking something to numb the pain? I wanted to gain whatever knowledge I could. That's why that book, I was sitting there watching Joyce Meyer on TV. She said, "Where the mind goes, the man follows." Boom. I heard that's the title of your book. I'm like, I'm not writing a book. You're writing a book. So that's where your mind goes, you go came from. And I literally got up in action because I had all of that knowledge from studying the mind at that point because of that dark spot on that airplane where I just came back from Home Shopping Network, made a ton of money. Everything was good. But for whatever reason, I had that. So I wrote the book, became a bestseller. It came out. It had to come out. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my heart was overflowing with this knowledge. What good was it if I didn't share it with other people? So just like your poetry and your rhyming and all of the art that you do, it comes from a place that is unique and special to you. And the reason people connect with it is because it's overflowing from your heart and it comes out with your art.
Wow.
From the heart to the art.
That's it. Can't spell heart without art. So you have one of the best physiques I've certainly ever seen. You've been on a ton of covers. You've won this and that. I mean, it's countless. I wonder if you've ever experienced something that I think I've experienced, which is like a level of body dysmorphia. So I remember when I was really into bodybuilding, I don't think there was a mirror that I walked past that I didn't flex into. You know, for me, some people call it a hard gainer. I don't necessarily buy into it, but I know it's easy for me to lose weight. I got to eat 3,000, 4,000 calories if I want to gain a little bit. But when I was working out in intense, like really, really, really into like bodybuilding, I think I experienced some body dysmorphia. And if I would like lose a little weight, I'd be like, I got to eat more. Have you ever experienced something like this?
Yeah, I think anyone who does what we do with the level at which we do it would be lying to themselves if they didn't, because that's partly what got you there, is having sort of an out of balance kind of attitude towards your efforts in the gym. And my wife will always play with me because I'll do stupid stuff. I'll come out of the shower with steam behind me, butt naked, posing. I'm like, you know, am I getting fat? How do I look? And then she's like, you're stupid. And it's partly joking, but it's partly true. Like, right, I want invalidation. Like, you look good.
Yeah, yeah.
You look good. Okay, yeah. I just needed to remind myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see it. I'm not the only one seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And that's partly why I do what I do on social media. I ain't even going to try and hide from it.
Yep, yep.
We like the likes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. What I mean? That's why they're there.
Yeah. And it is something, but I think I've avoided the trap of it. My son asked me yesterday, how long, as we're walking down the beach and people are talking to me and asking me, how long do you think you can maintain the way you look? I said, hopefully for the rest of my life. That'd be the goal, because we've seen evidence of it. Robbie Robinson. We physically, with our own eyes, seen a 76-year-old man looking better than both of us put together.
Yeah.
And made into one human. right?
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah, it's possible. So all I need to see is one dude who's did it. But, you know, these other things like Ray Kurzweil, who says you can live infinitely. Well, we haven't seen that yet. Mm. So I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not sure we can live to 200. It's great to say in theory, like, oh, yeah, I'm that guy Clark say. I don't know. But I do know I can be 76, jacked. Thank you, Jack LaLanne and Robbie Robinson.
I love that. I think it was Les Brown. He said, you don't have to know how to do it. Just know that it's possible.
Yeah.
And
Mimi Brown.
Yeah.
I lived in a one-room apartment with a dirt floor.
You got to be hungry.
Yep. Every time I hear Les Brown, I instantly hear his voice in my head.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, so I think one of the things that helped me with the body dysmorphia. Well, and I was never diagnosed or anything like that. I don't know. It didn't disrupt like my existence, but it was something that I noticed. But one of the things that helped was the recognition that actually I'm not this body, that I'm something else. I'm something more, something greater, that ultimately we can take care of it. We can build it up, but eventually the body, it falls apart. Right. It's got a, you know, it's got mileage on it and it's got an expiration date. You know, eventually, I mean, it's you know, it's undefeated. Death is undefeated. So eventually the body is going to, and then the spirit or whatever you call it is going to go to the next body or to heaven or whatever we believe. But that understanding, when you can identify as something greater than just the form, you have a body, but you know, you're not the body, right? You have a mind, but you're not the mind. I think that, and it's so simple, but that understanding, I think, could free a lot of people.
You know, hopefully it will. I wrote a book years ago called Spiritually Fit, and I said, you're not who you are because of your body, right? But we identify with it because it's what we see. We really, truly who we are, I think, because of our spirit. That's not our mind.
Yep,
it's exactly. The energy.
Exactly.
It's what I saw through the screen. I didn't see your mind. I didn't even see your body. Until I walked in, grabbed your arm, and was like, damn, right? We're distracted by that. And that's oftentimes what makes people think things about people when they don't really get a chance to connect with their spirit. But, you know, your aura is so big, it emanates out. Anyone who's tuned in to that, you're going to see it right away before you see the physical part of anyone else. Like, that shines brighter. And that's really what I want to have dysmorphia with. I want my energy to be so bright that when I walk into a room, you have to take notice. It's like an atomic bomb. It's like, whoa, what is that? And then eventually you focus in on, wow, he's got a good body too. Wow, he's wearing nice clothes too. Wow, look at the shoes he's put together. So we have to, at some point, identify with that. We can't hide from it. And that's why I take pride in that. Like, people ask me all the time, Clark, what is your motivation? It's pride of ownership.
Mm.
It's pride of ownership. I get this body. Like, I've been gifted with this body, bro.
Wow.
So I want to look in it good. I had a lady on my TV show years ago, and I always talk about her name was Sally. I'll make it really quick. To the right of me in the wardrobe trailer, we had six fitness models trying on clothes, all complaining. Oh, this makes my butt look fat, blah, blah, that whole conversation. To the left was Sally, like 4 feet 11, maybe 200 pounds. I'm exaggerating, but she was not fit like these girls. So I'm like, I'm going down here. I want this energy, plus I'm smelling food. I go there. She's short. She's shorter than me. I look down at her. She's cooking peppers and chicken. And I said, what are you having for lunch? She goes, oh, just some, you know, peppers and chicken or whatever. And she looks straight into my soul. The Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. She looks straight into my soul. She said, Clark, this is the body that God gave me, and I'm going to live in it healthy. Boom.
Boom.
If people could grasp that and realize that a healthy body always isn't manifesting itself like a jacked person, it is getting good checkups. It's back to the blood work that we talked about before we came on camera. It's about having health that might not manifest looking a certain way, but we certainly don't need to edify and glorify being overweight either, right? You should strive to be fit and able. If the zombies showed up right now, I ain't getting caught. Yeah. I know some other slower dude is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm jumping fences and knocking zombies out.
Yeah, it's hard to maintain inspiration if you have chronic inflammation in your body, period. So taking care of this shell is so important, so important. But let's play a game. Okay. Let's play a quick game, kind of a rapid fire. I call this game the five bests. Clark Bartram, what was the best investment you ever made?
Driving up here today.
What's the best quote you ever heard?
Why would a man give a dog the best water and food and give himself a cigarette and a donut, Clark? I don't understand it. Jack LaLanne.
Beautiful. What's the best advice you ever got?
Invest into yourself.
What's the best time of your life?
Being with my family anytime.
Beautiful. What's the best split, bodybuilding split that you liked? That
whatever day? You feel like. Like when you walk into the gym, the machines talk to me. Mm. I swear to God, the machines talk to me. I don't have anything pre-planned ever. And I come out feeling good.
Wow.
And you see the end result.
Wow.
Not being stuck on a split is my best split.
Love it. Love it. Clark, if I gave you a magic wand and you could wave that magic wand at the earth, and tomorrow when you woke up, magical morning when you woke up, because your magic wand wish was granted, what would your magic wand wish be for the world?
Social media, people would be encouraging each other instead of beating each other down.
Yeah.
That affects so many people, right? Imagine the little kids that are being, Sally got braces. Sally's this, so-and-so's that, so-and-so, whatever, man. And we're hurting people. Social media is such a powerful tool, as you know. I wish people, you know, the immortal words of Rodney King, you know, can't we all just get along? Honestly, man, my feelings get hurt. And people say, let it go. You can't. You can't. You're human. I really honestly wish. And here's the sad thing with that statement. People are going to troll this statement. That's why I want it to be different, because people are going to troll this statement right now. They're going to take it out of context, but how could you? And they're going to say, oh, look at this guy. You know, yeah, he only looks the way he's bullshitting. He ain't telling the truth. Whatever they're going to say. I know that 1,000 times throughout this beautiful conversation that we're having, there will be people that choose to try and make it ugly and hurt my feelings, hurt your feelings, and then start ancillary arguments because of that. Why? I just don't get it.
Yeah. You know? It's hurt people, hurt people. I think, you know, it's that a projection. You know, they're kind of projecting their own limiting beliefs, ideas, negativity, self-doubt, self-hatred onto other people. I can't think if I've ever wrote a really hateful, negative comment on a video, but I can imagine if I just felt this just inner turmoil, how much pain I would have to be in to do that. Because, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 15 years, and I've dealt with a lot of comments, you know, a lot of negativity. And that's what helps me, is to really try to put myself in their position. And, you know, you just want to really pray for them, give them a hug, and definitely not. I mean, it's tough, because when you put something out, it's like it's your baby, you know, whether it's a video, a book, a song, you know, it's like your creation, it's your baby. And so when somebody attacks that, it's like they're attacking your child. But I think it's really coming back to identifying with spirit, and not ideas, and love, and your response will be out of love. That's how you kind of transcend all of that stuff. Wow. That's the practice.
Yeah, I'll tell you something real quick. You said they're hurting. I give my phone number out to these guys. I say, call me. We'll talk about it like men. We'll settle this. The ones that have actually called me, we're friends now. And every single one of them has said, you know what, dude? I'm sorry. I was having a bad day.
Wow. That's it.
That's the common thread, every single one of them. And now I got one guy that trolled me that is in my program that's lost a bunch of weight, got his girlfriend back. And another guy yesterday, man, and my son witnessed it. He's like, dude, you're an OG, you're this and that. And I'm like, yeah. And you were trolling me at first. Think about this. Now look at where we're at. He's like, you haven't come through Detroit, come see me. I live on 7 Mile. And I'm like, I'll come through. You know, I stay in Ohio. That's where I'll be there. I'll come to Detroit. I have no problem. But now we're friends.
Amazing.
So if people give people the time of day and actually, like we had talked about in there, really find out who they are, and that goes both ways. And that's why I give people my phone number. I'm like, call me. I'm not trying to be a tough guy. I'm trying to not have this going on. And you're the chosen one. You're the one that you get to call me. And unfortunately, most guys say, I ain't gonna call you. Why should I call you? And I say, you told me exactly what I need to know. Block, delete, move on. That's when I move on.
That's it. That's it. Clark, this is a powerful, powerful conversation. I'm so happy that we can have you on Sauna Sessions. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about what you're doing, your coaching, What can they look out for?
Yeah, Instagram is just at Clark Bartram. My coaching, the website is maximizedmanelite.com. And it's not for everyone. It's only for men who are really ready to make an investment, men who understand that they will be held accountable, and I'm going to hold them to my five principles, and they're going to get more than they paid for in return. My business is run by something my dad taught me. He said, son, if someone gives you $100 for a service, you better double their investment in your service. You understand me, boy? I said, yes, sir. And he said, okay, that's it. And that's how I do it. So guys that come to me, they get results, they get love, they get appreciation, and we get a community. It's really, so go check it out and think about it before you go there, because I fully expect you to make a decision for yourself, for your family, for the people in your circle of influence, because you're an influencer.
That's it. Clark Bartram, thank you for coming on Sauna Sessions. Appreciate
you. My pleasure,
you.
Brother. Mm-hmm.